recorded live.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Talking Twilight Zone.
I want to be the biggest. Hear me? Yeah, that's what I want. I want to be the biggest. I want to be big!
When fans get to play, stars were shining bright.
Good comedians make great dramatists. It's hard for dramatists to become a good comedian. And I don't know whether that worked out for me or not, but I've enjoyed every step of the way of it.
Could the Pie win the Grand National?
Velvet Brown, who do you think you are?
I'm the owner of the Pie.
And does that give you leave to go poking your head out amongst the stars? Believing you could take the richest, grandest prize a horse ever won?
And his delightful wisdom has voted this honorary Oscar to the kid who eliminated all our yesterdays and to the man who brightens all our todays. To you, Mick, with love.
Ladies and gentlemen, members of the Academy, this is for 60 years of work, so they tell me. It's really only for 6 minutes of fun, of love and joy, of working with, playing with, like children, the people that we all are on the screen.
I went through the rickety studio and there was a silhouette and I poked my head in and I said, hello, who are you? And the voice says, what's your name? And I said, my name is Mickey McGuire, what's your name? The voice came back and says, Walt Disney. He said, come on in, Mickey, I want to show you something. So I went in and he said, sit on my lap. And so I sat on his lap and he said, I want to show you something. So he showed me a picture of a mouse. I said, it's a terrific mouse, Mr. Disney, what do you call him? He says, Mortimer Mouse. I said, well, that's terrific. He said, I'm glad you liked it, Mickey. And he stopped. Mickey, how would you like it if I named this mouse after you and called him Mickey Mouse? I said, well, that'd be wonderful, Mr. Disney.
How was it?
Where'd you swipe that?
Oh, quit your kidding. Words and Music by Michael Z. Moran. Why don't sweep the country?
You open this door with the click of a mouse. Beyond it is a world of sound, thought, and opinion. In-depth discussions of television's greatest blending of science, superstition, imagination. And you're invited along. We'll be Talking Twilight Zone.
Well, howdy, everybody. Yes, this is Talking Twilight Zone. I'm Lynn, your host. And I'm here with my co-hosts, Robert and Bobby, and our special guest, Rick Wall, and Felix is here, and Louie's here, although Louie can't call in today, unfortunately, but maybe later after a certain phone call comes in, he can call in, but if not, that's okay, but we'll still have a great show with the wonderful people that we have here, and I hope everyone's doing well today. How is everybody?
Hello.
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 She did a Three Stooges thing. Hello.
Hello. Hello. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
I was going to talk to y'all for the last. Oh, God. And it's a beautiful day here today in Conshohocken, Pennsylvania. It's gorgeous. It's
short of here in Ohio. Clouds peaking.
Yeah. Well, what's your temperature there?
Well, we had rain this morning, and sun's peeking out. It's about 70.
Same here. We got about 72, and it was rain last night, but it's a beautiful day, about 72, 73. How about you, Rick?
About 64, 5, and raining.
Aw, bummer. Damn rain.
I hate continuous. I'm glad it's just off and on. I remember a couple years ago we had a rainstorm lasted for like 3 days.
I hate that. I hate when you get one of those rains that just go on and on and on. But it is April, you know, so you have to expect that. Hopefully next weekend or next week, well, hopefully in the next couple weeks, it'll taper off. Had first yard sale started last week and this week. I went to yard sales today, so I had a good time there. Buy all kinds of stuff to sell on eBay. So I'm enjoying that. And, you know, just it's been pretty decent here. But anyway.
Yeah. But we probably should stop horsing around, shouldn't we?
Don't like it at all.
You might begin a visitor today, Lynn, if you know who I mean.
Oh, my gosh, Mr. Horse.
Yeah,
oh, I've got a Mr. Horse here today, yes. Oh, I'm looking forward to that. Well, great, that's perfect, because today's episode is Last Night of a Jockey, starring the legendary Mickey Rooney, who unfortunately we lost about a month ago, and very sad. I mean, but he had a wonderful career and a pretty wonderful life. Had some problems toward the end, but, you know, pretty wonderful life. And, yeah, we'll miss him because he was a good guy. But before we start, I'm going to turn it over to you, Robert, for the opening clip.
And now, Mr. Serling.
The name is Grady. 5 feet short in stockings and boots. A slightly distorted offshoot of a good breed of humans who race horses. He happens to be one of the rotten apples, bruised and yellowed by dealing in dirt. A short man with a short memory who's forgotten that he's worked for the sport of kings and helped turn it into a cesspool, used and misused by the two-legged animals who've hung around sporting events since the days of the Colosseum. So this is Grady on his last night as a jockey. Behind him are Hialeah, Hollywood Park, and Saratoga. Rounding the far turn and coming up fast on the rail is the Twilight Zone.
Always the Twilight Zone coming up behind the rail, yes.
Well, that's a good recommendation. Makes me want to tune out right away.
Well, you know, I have to say, I really liked the Tom Hanks movie, Big. I really love that movie. But I thought it was a lot more entertaining than this episode. Of course, it was a movie, so it's longer and, you know, it's more fleshed out. But I seriously doubt they got the idea from that movie from this episode. But if they did, they most likely figured they could do a much better job than Serling did with this story. And I hate to say anything against my darling Rod Serling, but this one, you know, could have been better. You know, you have a guy, Mickey Rooney's playing Grady. Michael Grady, and he gets banned from horse racing for horse doping. So he gets drunk, and he ends up talking to his alter ego in a mirror. It was a pretty preachy alter ego, too, very preachy. And then, as they go along, it agrees to grant him a wish. And what does the idiot wish for? He wishes to be big, just like Tom Hanks did. And so what I wonder was, why didn't he just wish to be reinstated as a jockey? In any case, he gets his wish, he grows a few feet, finds out that he has indeed been reinstated, but now he's too big to be a jockey. So, my, once again, we get the tired old story of the wish that went sour. Be careful what you wish for thing, and that's not the only problem with this episode. It's almost a remake, in a way, of Nervous Man in a $4 Room, the one in which Joe Mantell spent the entire episode talking to himself in a mirror. And also you have Shelley Berman in that terrible episode, Mind in the Matter. He talks to his alter ego in a mirror. So, I mean, come on. You know, it's hard to believe that the genius that we know as Rod Serling has run out of original ideas. I mean, has his well really run so dry that he had to keep rehashing the same crap over and over again? I don't know. I mean, you know, I had to wonder another thing. What type of being or thing was Grady's alter ego that it was able to perform such a feat as making Grady grow? Well, we never find that out because we're in the Twilight Zone. But I suppose he got what he deserved, you know, since
yeah,
he spent
the whole
so many
years. Was it really his alter ego?
Or was his conscience?
Satan!
Or Satan, yeah, Satan, you know, because I guess he got what he deserved because, you know, he spent all those years cheating and he was doing underhanded things while participating in the sport of kings. So, you know, you think just be glad to be participating in that, but obviously it wasn't enough for him. But, you know, in the Nervous Man episode with Joe Mantell's character, Jackie Rose, that actually came to a good end. But Grady's situation doesn't. But I'll tell you, it was kind of fun to watch Grady keep trashing his already crummy-looking apartment. you know. But other than that, the episode wasn't terribly interesting. But I will add one thing. I thought Mickey Rooney, he did a great job in the dual role, you know, playing himself and the alter ego. He was a good choice, of course, due to his size. And some people might remember that he actually played a jockey in the 1940s movie National Velvet, which starred a very young, what's her name? Elizabeth Taylor. I forgot her name for a minute there. Yeah. And it's just a shame that this episode wasn't a better one for his talents. But, you know, I mean, overall, you know, I give it a one rating because I wasn't terribly impressed. I was impressed with Mickey, but because the story was not that great, I can't give it more than one rating because I didn't find it all that intriguing. But luckily we have some more decent episodes to come in season 5. So, you know, this one wasn't the end of that. But before I hand this over to Robert, I'm sure everyone knows that we lost Mickey about a month ago at the ripe old age of 93. And he had a pretty good life with a career that started in 1926. And he worked every year of his life since then, often multiple times a year. And he had multiple wives, 8 to be exact.
Wow. Yep.
And although, yeah, I mean, 8 wives, and I'm, well, he had to work. He had to work. He kept having all these wives and alimony and all that stuff, but he worked a lot. I mean, if you look up his catalog on IMDb, I mean, the man just worked constantly, year after year, multiple times. And although he was married to his last wife, Jan, the longest, he was married to her over 30 years, it ended badly for him. They separated a few years ago because she was treating him very badly. And he moved in with one of his kids, and then he was very happy after that happened. But it's a shame that, you know,
Eight wives. That really is remarkable. Obviously,
isn't that?
Obviously, he wasn't short everywhere.
Oh, you're good. That was a good one. No, he didn't have too many shortcomings. He was married to Ava Gardner, so I guess he didn't have too many shortcomings. But, yeah, he just, I don't know. He was a legendary actor. You know, he had a very storied life. And it's sad that the end of it, you know, turned out to be not so good for him. But then when he did move in with his son, things got better. Louise asking, wasn't he from St. Ives? God, I don't even, well, you know, I can tell you in one second. I know that his real name was not Mickey Rooney. It was Ninian, N-I-N-I-A-N, Ninian Joseph Yule Jr. Ninian Joseph Yule Jr., and he was born in Brooklyn, New York, and he died in Los Angeles, California. So, yeah, that was Mickey.
Well, starting out, Mickey Maguire, as it was saying in the clip, was a lot better to pronounce than what you just pronounced there.
What did I say?
To Mickey Rooney.
He went by
Mickey Maguire starting out, and then changed to Mickey Rooney. So I said that these names are a little bit better than his original.
Ninian Joseph and Louis saying it was a joke. It was based on what rhyme? Now you're gonna have to tell me about that one, Louis, because I don't know that rhyme. It's a joke based on a rhyme. Okay, now I've got a riddle in front of me to solve.
Riddle me this, Matt Man.
Was he from St. Ives? It's a joke based on a rhyme. Okay, all right. I'm gonna have to figure that one out. Okay. Well, anyway, Robert, you go ahead while I try to figure out this riddle.
Okay. Thank you, Lynn. Yeah. Unfortunately, this one, that great and, you know, poor Grady, you know.
Scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Character. In this episode. Anyway, one benefit of this episode is the, you know, foretelling of horse doping in track and field, baseball, football with steroids, and later on the events with Lance Armstrong with the, you know, racing in the 2000s. And
I never liked him anyway. I never liked Lance Armstrong.
Well, he's like a lot of athletes. They have big egos and
the big putts.
Well, he was lying the entire time to try to, you know, keep himself to what he's facing right now, where, you know, if he would have told the truth, it would have hurt him some, but just to
he would have at least maybe not been so disgraced.
Robert, what foretelling? For 100 years, they had been cheating in horse racing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, that's nothing new. That's nothing new. It's just that you didn't have the media back then to,
right,
you know, bring it to light like you do now.
Any other sports branching off from what's happened with, you know, the horse doping and stuff like that, what we get in baseball and stuff today.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. With steroids. And what's that stuff called? MGH or H, whatever that.
Yeah, I know.
But, I mean, just the foresight of, you know, that, you know, even coming up in the 60s, it wasn't, as Lynn said, that pronounced or widespread in papers and stuff. You know, it wasn't a constant thing that we kept getting beaten over the heads with in the 90s and 2000s with, you know, the baseball players and the football players and, like I mentioned, Lance. So, yeah, I can imagine behind the scenes has been going on for a long time.
Yeah, but you didn't have the media back.
Yeah, to my
knowledge.
You didn't
have the internet. Yeah, you didn't have the internet. You didn't have the TV. You didn't have the, you know, you just didn't hear about it. So, oh, okay. Louis Prenta. As I was going to St. Ives, I met a man who had 7 wives. Every wife had 7 cats. And said, oh, now I know. Okay. All right. It was a classic riddle. All right. Thank you, Louis. Oh, I knew he cleared it up for me at some point. Okay. All right. Anyway,
I just thought this story could give us perspective, you know, events for what's, you know, going happen later on. But, you know, I appreciate Rick, you telling me that. I imagine, yeah, it's something that was done years ago, but really didn't come to the forefront or, you know, getting told in newspapers and stuff like that about events that going on. Other than that, unfortunately, the story is a piece of crap. Wasn't too crazy. Like you said, I agree with you, Lynn. It's almost a remake of Nervous Man in $4 Room from season 3. But this is the only one that we get remakes of going on down the line. There's some other episodes that are remakes of ones from the past, too. And even Bobby brought that up about that's what we're going to be getting into here in season 5, where it's, they were just running out of ideas and just going back to the well and redoing stuff. So, but the whole thing was, you know, it reminded me of Alice in Wonderland a little bit. Remember with Alice where she finds this thing that says eat this or drink this?
Oh, yeah.
Eat me.
Yeah. Eat me or drink me. Yeah. Yeah, you have to be careful how you take that. Yeah.
Well, no, it did say eat me.
I know.
It did say eat me. Eat me.
Yeah, it did. You're right. It's just the way, you know, thought-wise, thinking about it. When
get your mind out of the gutter.
I know.
Too late.
Well, anyway, wasn't the drink me shrink her and the eat me made her big, or was it?
Yeah.
I forget if it was the drink or the cake. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Once that happened to Grady, then it kind of threw me out of the episodes. Like, yeah, that I couldn't believe in that in this episode. The whole thing is, you want to kind of have some sort of reality or some belief that you know, it's possible that something like this could happen. When something like that, you know, this kind of throws you out there. And also, you brought up, Glenn, about the relationships with, he was married 8 times. Some was rumored that he had a relationship with Julie Garland during that time.
Yeah.
The Andy Hardy movies. I don't know how true that is, but and also
they both always denied it, but
yeah,
a lot of people say it was true, but who knows, you know.
Well, they had good chemistry. You know, he appeared on her show, and they reminisced about the days when they were on studio and stuff like that. So you know, there was a closeness. It's not just friends, you know.
Right.
What could be, and again, like you, the movie Big definitely came to mind. And here again, we get a wish being given by an unknown entity. I mentioned that in the past as well. And Julie was watching this with me, and she kind of rated a 0 out of 5. But she kind of agreed with me about the whole doping situation that we hear about now. And then the thing that they're dig it up now, and if anybody's into baseball, watches baseball, the whole pine tar situation, we thought we put that to rest with, years ago with the bread and the bat pine tar thing. Now we're finding,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's a hidden thing. It does go on. But this one pitcher was just very blatant in it that he got a 10-day suspension for having pine tar in the neck. He's the same guy that had it on his wrist, and it all of a sudden appeared. And the funny part is, you know, you got cameras and stuff out there watching your every move, and even the guys in the announcing booth was bringing it up. So,
yeah.
Anyway, I gave it a 1 out of 5, and like I said, you know, I wish Mickey Rooney was in a better. He was in a better story. What? We get a phone. Better probably pick it up. Hello? Yeah? Oh, Lynn, your favorite person's here.
Oh.
Mr. Horse is here. Hello.
Hello, Mr. Horse. Oh.
Well, it was nice of you to call up. We wanted to know what you felt about this episode. Okay, well, we'll go ahead on speakerphone, and I'll ask you, Mr. Horse, what did you think of the last night of the jockey?
No, sir, I didn't like it.
Well, I think that's kind of a mutual, me and Lynn, so far, but I heard you were out of the... Go ahead,
Lynn. It was nice of him to call.
Yeah, I was going to ask him while he was still on the line. You know, he was away from the U.S., over in Europe and those places, and how he feel about coming back home.
Good. Mighty good. Yes, sir, I think America is the greatest country in the world. Yes, sir, I like it.
Well, be disputable. You know, some people feel, you know, that their country is a little bit better. But, you know, that's nice to hear, Ms. Torres, about that. And who's this lovely person in wool? Is that your girlfriend?
No, it's my sheep.
Okay. Thank you on that.
God,
well,
I love
okay.
Mr. Horse. Love Mr. Horse.
He even says he got a music video out there. Well, we're kind of busy. We got a show going on. Well, 37 seconds you got? Well, I think we can manage that in. So
all
here
right.
Is Mr. Horse's music video.
No, sir. Didn't like it. No, sir. I didn't like.
Wonderful.
I don't think that's going to be a top 10 for you, Mr. Horse.
No, I'll buy his record.
Well, you got to go. Okay. Well, we'll talk to you later. Hopefully,
thanks
we'll
for
have
calling
you
in.
Bye, Mr. Horse.
Bye, Mr. Horse. Oh, how sweet. Oh, what a darling.
Well, that was Mr. Horse. I'm glad he was able for, and he called in for you, Lynn. You said last year you Mr. Horse on.
I love Mr. Horse.
More
yeah.
Happy to oblige you there. So.
Awesome.
1 out of 5, and I'll pass this over to Bobby. Bobby?
All right. Let me start off by thanking Mickey Rooney for having perfect timing by dying so close to this show. He must have been one of our fans because that is real dedication. He lived 93 years, and he picked April of 2014 to die. That's quite remarkable.
Hey, it was tough, but it worked. What can you say? Hey.
Here we go again. Didn't we just do this recently with a kind of a stopwatch where I whined about having a very unpleasant man who gets what he wants and lives to regret it? Oh, that's right. That premise is what this series is all about. Just another story about that where somebody regrets what they asked for over and over and over again. I mean, Rod Serling's description of him at the beginning of the show makes me want to run away, not watch the show. Do I really want to watch an episode about anybody this bad? You got to wonder. I just watched it a few days ago, and I'm not sure that I've ever had to sit through a longer 23 minutes. It was like it would never end. I thought for a minute there that I was back in the hour-long season. Rod Serling made it clear in his opening comments that we have another man who we don't give a damn about. He's trashed his career and deserves no second chances. It's called The Last Night of a Jockey, so the only thing to wait for is to see why it is The Last Night of a Jockey. It surely must be difficult for an actor to play virtually against himself, and Rooney does it quite well. There's no doubt about that. It reminded me of a classic episode, and that was The Invaders, where Agnes Moorehead did the same thing, but the difference is amazing. Yes, she was ugly and scary, but we cared about her until we found out exactly what she was and wondered what we would do if these tiny little creatures came after us. So that made it a compelling story, to say nothing of the surprise ending. Here we have nothing to latch onto and just wait to find out why he's coming to this bad end, and it's no surprise when it ends up the way it does. But, actually, Mickey Rooney, as Lynn has already mentioned, his life was a much better story than this episode was. I am thankful for one thing, though, and that is that they didn't try to do a comedy episode with Mickey Rooney. That must have been something that was on the table at one point, given the fact that the comedy episodes are dreadful in The Twilight Zone. It would have been horrifying to see Mickey Rooney into one of those, so I think we can be thankful that it was serious. Most people who posted at our Twilight Zone group said they were never fond of Mickey Rooney, and I share that opinion. His glory days were far behind him by the time this story aired. Actually, he was a much better serious actor than a comic. This is his second go-round with Rod Serling. Rooney played a prominent part in the film version of the Rod Serling written teleplay and feature film Requiem for a Heavyweight. He was terrific in that. He was in that, and so was Jackie Gleason. You had two people known mainly for comedy who were in a serious drama. That is a great, great movie. Personally, I actually got to see Mickey Rooney in person back in 1979 on Broadway in New York when I went with my family to see the musical Sugar Babies. We went to see the show, not necessarily Mickey Rooney, but he was excellent in it. It was basically just a burlesque show, so it was not really a stretch for Rooney, but he was excellent in it, and one of his many comebacks from obscurity came out of that. The show was great, ran for 2 years on Broadway, and then it went on the road for several more years, and I got to see him live again a couple years later when Sugar Babies came to the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C. Not much here in this episode. They should have given him more to work with than his alter ego appearing in a mirror. The one thing I did enjoy about the episode came at the end, with that miniature set that he was working in that kept getting smaller until he could touch the ceiling. The Twilight Zone is not exactly known for special effects, but it was kind of funny. It was kind of fun to see that little mini set. It was very, very bizarre. So actually, I like that more than the story. He did give it his best, so I can't give it my usual zero rating. So I'll stick with one like everybody else, only for his performance and nothing more than that. It just is, as far as regurgitating ideas, I've talked about that for months now, and it just keeps going on and on and on and on. And it doesn't surprise me, because I don't think you can. The Twilight Zone was so different than everything else and so original that it figured that if it stayed around too long, after a while, you are going to run out of ideas. It amazes me that people think that movies and TV can just go on and on and on for decades and never repeat things. Look at television today. You've got sitcoms coming on that are absolutely no different than ones that were on 25 and 30 years ago. They just kept bringing them back over and over and over again because there are limits to originality, and it just is a shame. I agree with Lynn that we have Living Doll coming up, the greatest of the greats, and if the show had folded, it never would have happened, so that's a reason to be here, but this story is just more of the same, and I don't know how many more times I have to learn this lesson in the Twilight Zone about watching what you ask for because you might actually get it. My God, you go back and think about episodes and how many there are, you'd be astounded at how many people end up being sorry over and over and over again, and I got the point a long time ago. So, I'll give it a one. I'm being very generous here and give it a one. Lynn?
Okay. Okay, so most of us have given it a one, and
everybody in the group gave it a one. Everybody who posted gave it a one.
Yeah, and we have guest number four here. He said he gives it a one for Mickey, definitely. It didn't really have a Twilight Zone feel, and for the episode plot-wise. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. I'm reading this wrong. He said he's giving it a one for Mickey, definitely. Didn't really have a feel, Twilight Zone feel, and plot-wise, he gives it a zero. Oh, that's Felix. Oh, Felix, I just realized you left earlier, Felix, and I was wondering why you left. You just came back to some. Oh, okay, that's Felix here.
You're awfully confused. It sounds like the last night of a talk show host.
Oh, that's our buddy Felix. Yeah, he's giving it a one for Mickey. Okay, and he's giving zero for the plot, and I agree with that. Well, thanks for coming back, Felix. What happened? Yeah, I was wondering. I thought maybe we said something. I thought we said something to offend you. No, I'm just kidding. I'm glad you're back. Okay, so we're all giving it a one. And there was something else I wanted to say about, Robert was saying something earlier about, you know, Mickey Rooney and Judy Garland possibly having an affair when you work that closely in so many movies with someone. And the same thing is true of Audrey Hepburn and Spencer Tracy. I mean, for years and years, people said that those two had an affair. And I think at one point, now I'm not saying that I'm positive about this, but I think at one point either Tracy or Hepburn admitted that something went on between them because they had done so many movies together. They were together so often. And they were both married at the time, you know, but or at least Spencer Tracy was. But, you know, yeah, I can understand how something like that can happen, yeah. But anyway, okay, that's
well,
what Humphrey I wanted to
Bogart say. Well, Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall got married.
Yeah.
They're out there at Malbar Farm, and I was there at Malbar Farm when I was a kid. Because they talked about, yeah, they showed us the place where they got married out there, so that was kind of cool. Walt Disney used to spend time out there. So, yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, see, it happens. Rick, does Daphne want to say anything?
Woof, 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 woof,
woof,
woof, woof, woof, woof.
Okay, and now do you want to say anything? Thank you, Daphne.
I'm going to get yelled at, but what else is new? And,
I would never yell at you. We love you.
But let me preface what I'm going to say first with there is nothing and has never been anything original. Everything written has been already in a one certain book that starts with a B, and every play and or poem written by this guy, what's his name now, Will Shaky Spear, Shook Shake Up.
Billy?
Something
who, Billy?
Like
Billy Shaker? Billy, huh?
Anywho, I happen to have liked it. It is one of the hardest things is playing against yourself.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
When Bobby De Niro was told, you know, what do you mean? I got to talk to myself in a mirror? What am I going to say?
You talking to me?
And so Casey said, say anything you want. Bobby came up with the, yeah, you're talking to me? You better be talking to me. I'm the only one here.
You talking to me?
I give him credit for this, more credit than you guys do.
But no, we gave him, no, that's not true. That's what I gave him credit. I said the best thing for me in this episode was the fact that I admired Mickey for doing so well at playing the dual role.
I said the same thing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anywho, I'm going to give it a 3.
Okay.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that.
And I'm not going to stick a negative on it like the other episodes because I don't think it was that bad.
No, I.
But you think it was far better than it was last episode, didn't you?
Oh yeah.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Oh yes.
Oh yeah.
No, I mean I was not crazy about the storyline in this episode, but I thought Mickey Rooney did a fantastic job playing the dual role. Absolutely. Absolutely. But because the story was so weak for him, for his talents, I could not give it more than 1.
I would like to see Mickey in a better episode, to be honest about it.
I
thought the story was crap, unfortunately. But
you know what? I bet he would have done better in that Mind in the Matter than Shelley Berman did. I wonder how he would have done that.
People.
No, maybe he couldn't have done that. That was good for Shelley Berman, wasn't it?
And anything I've ever seen Mickey Rooney in, I've never seen him do a depressed or a cranky. Well, here, yeah. But in this episode, yeah. But I mean, anything else, I've never seen him in like a really cranky or bad, you know, bad, evil type character in any of his movies, really.
Yeah, he was always kind of an up guy. He always played up characters.
Yeah.
Well, he did in The Adventures of the Black Stallion when that TV show was on. He played in that series as well.
You know, he was working up until this year. He supposedly was in the latest Night of the Museum. Was it Night of the Museum?
Museum, yeah, that was funny. I loved that.
He
Rob
did
Morgan
that.
Was in that.
He did voice work, I believe, in it, didn't he?
Yep.
Yeah.
No, he was one of the security guys, remember?
Was he?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, if you go to, and I know, Rick, you're not crazy about IMDb, but it's like, I would say IMDb is 85% accurate, I mean, with a lot of their stuff. If
nobody
you go with,
in the business really relies on it. Everybody thinks we do, we don't. Like I said, we call it the imbecilic, moronic movie database.
But, you know, it's not like it's 100% accurate, but if you want to get a catalog of somebody's work, that's where you go. I mean, it does show you everything they've done. And if you want to, Mickey Rooney, if you go in there and look at his catalog of work up until 2014, he had 2 movies going on. He worked every year from 1926 until 2014, never missed a year, and worked in multiple things in every year. And it was just amazing that he did so much. I forget what the other thing was.
Like he said, you know, when he got his Oscar, you know, that's the hardest 3 minutes I've worked in my life.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is
you know, and people don't realize that, you know, it's so glamorous being, most of this time you're standing around twiddling your thumbs.
Yep.
And then then the director screams quiet on the set, and you can't even move a muscle.
Nobody realizes how hard, you know, people think that actors, actresses, any celebrity, they have it so easy. Oh, they get paid millions of dollars to just, you know, go on the set and pretend to be somebody else and learn some lines.
I'm not saying it's hard. I'm not saying it's the world's hardest job, but it's the most tedious, boring.
Yeah.
You know, you're sitting around waiting for guys to set stuff up. You know, then they set it up. You're sitting in the makeup chair sometimes 3-4 hours. If you got it like a character makeup, it may longer than that. You know, and
if it's location shooting, the weather, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's
not as glamorous as people think it is.
No.
And that's the crazy thing, yeah.
Yeah.
People think it's glamorous,
like I said, it's not strenuous as per se as working as a truck driver like my dad did for 56 years. But, you know, it's boring. It wears on you.
And imagine, like, being in a movie where you have, I mean, you do have to learn lines. And you have to learn
I always had an argument with my dad. You know, sometimes I said, "Dad, memorizing stuff and going to school and you know, memorizing stuff from the script and reading the script and having to remember where you got to stand and all that. You're gonna laugh, Dad. It's just as hard as what you did."
But they don't believe it.
No,
they don't. I mean, I just last week I watched The Ten Commandments with my all-time favorite actor, Charlton Heston. And, of course, you know, to me, he was the greatest actor of all time. That's my opinion. But you watch this movie, and you watch, this is a three and a half hour movie or something? And
yeah, it went
memorized.
To like 12:45 in the morning. So.
Yes, it did, yeah. And to think of the lines that they have to learn. And, I mean, oh, my God, just, think of
where's your God? Where's your God now, Moses? Edward G. Robinson is the Pharaoh. Come on, give me a break.
Written by the finger of God.
Yeah, my favorite. You know what my favorite line in that movie is? My all-time favorite line in the movie. If there is one more plague against Egypt, it is by your hand that God will bring it, and there shall be so great a cry throughout the land that you will surely let my people go. Oh, when he does that, I let everybody go. I mean, it's just, I let anybody, it's just the most incredible line. You know,
so, Bobby, were you
out
in the same room, or did you kind of wander off since it's a 4 hours movie?
Oh, Bobby can't deal when he's in the room with me with Charlton Heston.
Indeed.
Right, Bobby?
Right.
You need all the quiet, though, about it.
He can't deal with me with Charlton Heston because I stand there by the TV. And when Charlton Heston takes his shirt off, well, that's the end of that. I mean, oh, my God.
They're off then, huh?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Let my people go.
The slaves are mine. Their lives are mine. All that they own is mine. I do not know your God. Nor will I let Israel go.
Who are you to make their lives bitter in hard bondage? Man shall be ruled by law, not by the will of other men. What a fool.
Who is this God that I should let your people go?
Aaron, cast down my staff before Pharaoh, that he may see the power of God. In this you shall know that the Lord is God.
Mother! Mother! He turned his staff into a cobra!
Oh, my God. Then you will surely let my people go. Oh, and Planet
get into
of the
that
Apes.
Mud and dig, dig.
You know, the Twilight episode is bad when we start talking about something completely different.
Oh, and then Nefertiti. Oh, God, I couldn't stand her. God. Oh, Nefertiti.
Well, last
bitch.
Week was Easter, so what can you say?
I know. Well, I love
tradition like Charlie Brown Christmas and everything.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Ben Hur.
Remember how many years that was played on CBS?
Oh, yes, every year. It still is. Still is. Yeah. Yep. Yep. But Charlton Heston, boy, Ben Hur. I know all the lines. Nefertiti. She was such a bitch. She didn't deserve to be with him. No, he was too good for her.
I'm going a little far afield here. I thought we were talking about Twilight Zone.
Well, I know.
That's what I just said.
I'm just saying, Nefertiti was
this
a slut.
This show's going to talk about the whole movie. This show's going to run 4 hours tonight.
But Nefertiti was a slut, and everybody knows it. You know, I can't believe Charlton Heston won to her. But anyway, whatever the case may be. All right. And
well, at least she wasn't Betty Davis and Fowler Wong get eaten up by wolves or whatever. Who was that character from the Bible that about that? Starts with a B.
It's right on the tip of my tongue.
Bathsheba.
There you go. That's the one. Very good, Rick. And Louis says that he's giving this episode a 2 for Mickey Rooney delivering basically a good soliloquy. Yes, indeed. And I think we all agree with that. He was very good in the dual role. So we have twos, a 2 and a bunch of ones, and that's cool with me.
And I have a response from Dave, if you guys want me to play it.
Oh, yeah, Dave. I'm sorry. Yeah, Dave.
2 minutes long, and I think he kind of in agreement with you there, Rick. So
okay.
I don't feel like you're the only one that gave it what you gave. So we'll go ahead and listen to what Dave says.
Well, it's Dave AC. Hope the show's going well. Sorry I can't be with you. I'm on a family event today. But I'm just sending in a little audio report after watching The Last Night of a Jockey. That, of course, is Season 5, Episode 125, went out live on October the 25th, 1963. And basically, it just has one actor in it, and that actor is Mickey Rooney as Michael Grady. And I must admit, that actor is. He held me pretty well all the way through. Now, the story's climax is easily determined. You know the basic mistake that he makes, and in that sense the story isn't very satisfactory. It's a very simple tale, but the way it was acted I thought was excellent. We have the use of a mirror again. Now, this is a feature that I have to mention that's in this. Often, of course, it is because the people that are the quote-unquote heroes of Twilight Zone are people, they're loners, they're people who don't quite fit in, the people at odds with society, people who are always got a bit of a chip on the shoulder, are dissatisfied. I always think that all the bad things that happen to them are down to bad breaks rather than their own inadequacies. But even for that simple thing, I really enjoyed the most part of this, as I said. Just a little bit of silliness and predictability at the end. So, from an acting point of view, I give this a clear 4 out of 5. As an actual story, probably only 2 out of 5. So that leaves me with a little bit of a dilemma, which I suppose I can say 3 out of 5. Okay, back to Lynn and the rest of the people on the call. Hope to see you in 2 weeks' time. Bye for now.
Dave. Yeah, okay, a 3 out of 5. Okay, I like that. I like that we get a little bit of a... So we have ones and a 2 and a 3. So
two
cool.
2 threes.
Two threes. 2 threes, a 2, and 1s. 3 ones, a 2, and a couple of 3s. That's awesome. I love
Thank
that.
Thank you, people. Welcome to the
like
Long 112 show. And a 1, and a 2.
A 2. And a 3.
The champagne bubbles, yes. Oh, man. Oh, and Louis said, this is very true, Louis. Heston was in Planet of the Apes, which was written by Rod Serling, and that's the TZ connection between Heston and Serling. Woo! Yes, indeed. He was a Planet of the Apes. And you know that Charlton Heston showed his bare ass in Planet of the Apes. Oh, my God. Anyway, so, yes, thank you very much. Thank you for reminding me of that, Louis. Oh, yeah, Louis to the rescue. I mean, so, anyway, all right, we're all done with that, and yeah, now that I'm all sweaty. all right, okay. 2 weeks from now, on May 10th, oh, wow, we're already in May. Okay, May 10th, we are going to be doing one of the, well, more classic episodes of The Twilight Zone, and definitely of Season 5, Living Doll, with starring Telly Savalas.
Who loves you, baby? Yeah.
Who loves you, baby? Yeah. Lollipops all around. Yes, Telly Savalas in Living Doll, one of Bobby's favorites. So we will definitely be here for that in 2 weeks, and I hope everyone else will. Dave will be here, as he said. Rick, you have to be here. Daphne has to be here.
My
Louis,
name is Talking Ricky, and I'm going to kill you.
I get that feeling. A lot of Chucky references on the next show.
Yeah.
Very much.
Yes. I have, you know, I have one. I have a talking Tina doll. You saw it, Robert, when you came to visit us.
I did.
I have the talking Tina doll, and you push the button in the back. She says, "My name is Talking Tina, and I don't think I like you." Yes, yes. Oh, they're wonderful. It's wonderful. Yes, so I have the talking Tina bobblehead, and that's what we're going to be doing in 2 weeks. And Louie, I do hope to be able to call in then. He said, "I definitely do my best call in for that episode. Even if I have to do it on my phone." Oh, yeah, Louis, you have to be here for that one. You have to be here. So Louis will be here, and Dave, and Robert, and Felix, I hope, and Rick, of course, and Daphne, and everybody. So that's it for today, and have a wonderful rest of the weekend. Hope it stays beautiful for the whole rest of the weekend. And, Rick, I hope your rain stops.
Me too.
Yeah. Okay. And give Daphne a kiss for me.
Definitely.
All righty. Okay, folks. See you in 2 weeks. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Oh, Mr. Serling.
Next on Twilight Zone, a show that might very aptly be called The Living End, and with comparable aptness is called Living Doll. It's written by colleague and cohort Charles Beaumont, and stars Tully Savalas and co-stars Mary LaRoche. Mr. Beaumont supplies us with a little weirdy involving a man and a doll. It comes well recommended. Next time out, Living Doll.
Mickey Rooney grew up in show business, a product of Hollywood's golden age.
I am that merry wanderer of the night.
By the time he played Puck in the 1935 film A Midsummer Night's Dream, Rooney was already a veteran. He had made his acting debut before he was two in his parents' vaudeville act.
Mama was horrified.
Vaudeville would serve him well. He would sing, dance, and act his way through hundreds of films spanning decades.
Since he won't go to the dance, and I don't know why, and I don't want.
In 1937, his energy and versatility landed him the role of Andy Hardy, a witty character and one that he would revisit in a series of 15 films. He was a contract player for MGM at the time. Rooney, his stage name, replaced his birth name, Joe Ewell Jr. In 1939, he was awarded a special Oscar for bringing the spirit of youth to film. His turn as a tough juvenile delinquent in Men of Boys Town paired him with Spencer Tracy in 1941. What followed was his first Oscar nomination for the feature Babes in Arms, in which he and Judy Garland promised to put on a show.
I'm going to write a show for us and put it on right here in Seaport.
Rooney was married in his 20s to Ava Gardner, but it didn't last. He would eventually marry 8 times. Still, Rooney was a much honored man for his work. He was nominated for 4 Academy Awards, including one for The Black Stallion. In 1983, Rooney was given an honorary Oscar for his lifetime contribution to film. Rooney married 8th wife Jan Chamberlain in 1978. Decades later, they starred and toured together in their own one-man, one-wife show.
I can't give you anything but love.
He stayed busy well into his 80s with small roles in a handful of movies, including Night at the Museum in 2006. The love of his life, the constant all of his life, was always his work.
We hope this business learns to love itself a little bit more. and remembers the people who opened the doors for all of these youngsters and these people today.
Nichelle Turner, CNN, Hollywood.
National Velvet, about a race called the Grand National, and a girl named Velvet, whose biggest dream was to win it.
Tell us more about your sister Velvet.
Sometimes she doesn't wash her neck.
Horses. What does it feel like to be in love with a horse?
I want to be a famous rider. I should like to hunt. Ride to hounds. I should like to race.
Velvet's horse was called the Pie.
Pie! Pie, wait for that ball!
The Pie was wild and unpredictable, but he was lightning fast.
Could the Pie win the Grand National?
Velvet Brown, who do you think you are?
Well, I'm the owner of the Pie.
And does that give you leave to go poking your head out amongst the stars, believing you could take the richest, grandest prize a horse ever won?
The Grand National. Large dream for a little girl.
Sometimes it frightens me. I see things. I see things as big as life and think they're real.
Up you go.